Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. You simply pour a can into your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. So pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
Welcome to Wired to Hunt's Rut Fresh Radio, bringing you the latest reports from the Whitetail Woods. And now, your hosts, Casey Smith and Tyler Jones.
This is Rut Fresh Radio, powered by Vortex Optics. I'm your host, Casey Smith, and this week, it's lockdown. Or is it? Can you still find a big buck when they have found the doe they want to be with? This is Rut Fresh Radio. I'm your host, Casey Smith. And guess what? There's another host. His name is Tyler Jones.
The host with the most throw-ups.
Guys, listen. It's the season of the sickness. And we're down with it.
Yeah, we are.
Bad.
Going, dude.
Yeah.
Is there some trademark issues there or something?
No, I jumbled it up enough to where, yeah, it's not an issue at all.
Okay.
Besides, I don't even think they're touring anymore. It's weird, but there's a stomach virus going around the Element crew, and it's got like this delay thing, but we've all kind of had it. Tyler's experiencing it right now. My gracious. X's are hard for me, all right?
Especially.
And, yeah.
Especially right. Hard.
But you're on the road to recovery. It would seem.
It would seem, but I seemed that a couple of days ago.
You did get a breakfast burrito this morning, so.
I did. I had some breakfast the other day, though, too. I don't know if it's a relapse deal or if it's a, just new sickness after getting home.
Call that a nickness.
The rugrats, can sometimes give you a new strain.
Well, my wife was talking about this, and she was like, don't go over there and get sick and then bring it home. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just had this, so I probably can't get it back.
I don't know. You might have brought it over to us or me. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah. But anyways, I hope you're feeling better. You got big deer to kill either way.
Feeling a little bit better.
I've seen you kill a big deer when you're sick, so.
It's the worst.
I hate
shooting big deer, man.
You want to feel good when you're shooting big deer. But big deer have been going down around the country.
Yep.
It's that time of year. I have seen a trend, and I'm not by any means throwing any shade or anything, because I want people to shoot what makes them happy to shoot. But I have noticed that I think that the hot temperatures in the first couple weeks of November led some people to use all of their vacation time up without having a big buck to shoot and end up shooting some last day bucks. And you know what I'd like, Tyler?
What would you like?
I like last day bucks.
Yeah, you do.
I shoot last day bucks.
Yeah, you do.
Because it's fun to shoot bucks.
Yeah.
You know, man, like, I like, and it's cool, man. I like to bring home a deer. I like to eat that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I actually have a neck roast in the crock pot right now that's going to be primo.
Hey, and let me just tell you this right now. People say, oh, can't eat antlers, so mm-hmm. why are you shooting a young buck?
Yeah.
Well, this time of year, the neck roast on a buck compared to a doe is like four times
So
the size.
I got a neck roast off of a buck the other day, and it literally, I had to take two of them because you couldn't take the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a half of a neck roast in the crock pot, and it fills up my 7-gallon crock pot or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how big it is, but
it's wild, dude.
It's a big crock pot. Yeah, it is crazy. And we're going to make some woo, good tacos today, bro. It's going to be good. Tasty. Yeah,
it's good. Y'all are going to be going to a new state soon, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is going to be new fun state for me.
I'm sad that we have to depart. We've been buck trucking for so long ago.
Oh man. Well, that's we kind of planned it because I drew a tag that you weren't going to be able to draw this year, and it's all right. We'll do the phone consultation thing, I'm sure, a few times.
You know what I don't? Another reason I hope that I feel better. It's because I don't like talking on the phone when I feel bad.
I don't like talking on the phone, so I'm with you.
Yeah, I struggle. Like yesterday, Kaylee, I was talking to her, and she was like, I was like, man, I feel bad. And I was like barely getting the words out. I was just blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah, and I was just feeling bad, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, for some reason, you just don't want to open your mouth. Maybe it's because, if you open it too wide, some throw-up's going to come out of it.
Gross. Ned Gummit. Yeah. I know what you mean.
I don't know, but the weather has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Things are busting loose. We got some dudes, some camera guys that have been hunting today since we're taking the day off, I guess you could say. They were been asking for clown noses.
Mm-hmm. Apparently there's some clownage going on. we do this thing where we, in the element spheres, I guess you'd say, that when you do something kind of silly, kind of dumb, or just make a mistake, or just shoot yourself in the foot, it's called clowning.
Yep.
And there's some clowning going on.
And you bought some clown noses off of Amazon, didn't you?
We got some clown noses. You might see those appear in a video. Maybe.
Maybe.
Especially if Mark comes and hunts with us. Speaking of clowning, I keep clowning on Mark,
yeah.
And he hasn't talked to me in a while.
We
so
need to give him a chance
I think he's
to
kinda mad.
Defend himself on this
yeah.
sometime soon.
He can just defend himself in person in yeah. Texas, yeah.
I think y'all should have a fight.
I think we will.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome, dude. He's got the reach, but you've got the power.
That's right. Get up yeah. inside, you know?
yeah. yeah. That'd be awesome, dude.
Yeah, dude. We're going to do it.
I think you should, man.
Cherokee leg wrestling.
Yeah? Is that like a Cherokee squat?
It's a little different.
It's a little slightly different.
yeah. oh, maybe y'all hear about that one of these days.
Yeah.
We got some hunts coming up that are all over the country, and I think that now would be a good time to give out some encouragement, man. Like, November is pretty much halfway over. The day this podcast releases, I believe, is the midway point. If you listen to this podcast at noon or after on the day it releases, you will be halfway through November. And for some, that's sad. And for others, that's like really exciting. I know that the train of thought oftentimes kind of comes out of the Midwest. And I know that, the Midwest a lot of times has these really strict rut dates. But, two-thirds of the whitetail country probably doesn't operate within such a strict calendar of rut. So that's encouraging for a lot of us where, there's more mid to late November rut action in some of these states, especially as you push further south, or December's coming up for some of you guys. So the rut's going to get better. And that's one of the reasons we interview people from all over the country. But even if you are in one of those states that has like really well-defined rut dates, they still aren't poignant. Okay. I was talking about this the other day. The bell curve is still a curve and it never touches the top. Okay. So like there's not a day, November 14th or whatever peak breeding is, that's still not all the breeding, right? There mm-hmm. will be chasing and things going wild way later than that. Tyler, for example, you hunted Iowa in 2019,
mm-hmm.
And went up after what most people would consider peak rut dates, and you shot a buck on what day he was going wild after a doe?
The 21st of November.
21st of November.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't even realize it was that late.
Yep.
And this dude put on the best show probably of...
It's the wildest grunting I've ever seen or heard.
Yeah.
When he was coming through the woods, I had seen him as soon as they came into vision, probably mm-hmm. like 80 yards away. They're actually crossing a county road, a dirt road. And they cross this road. I see him coming. I start getting my stuff ready, turn around, get my bow and everything. And then I think that I hear a dirt bike coming. And I'm like, why is there somebody driving a dirt bike around right now? I'm thinking it's about to ruin the whole deal, right? Well, all of a sudden I see the doe come out, and then I see the buck come out. It's the buck. And he's just like, like loud and long, dude.
And longer than that.
Yeah. It was crazy. I thought it was a dirt bike coming.
Yep.
And so, the footage is on the Element YouTube channel. I don't know what you'd search, but I think it's like Public Land, Iowa or something like that. And you can find that video. It's a really cool video. It's not like a giant deer, but it was day 11 of my hunting up there, and it's a long way from home. And to be honest, this is the height of my whitetail bumming career. I left my state, my home here in Texas, with $1.67 in my account, and had some cash from a gig that I had played, and went to Iowa to try to finish things off, and ended up doing that.
Yeah, so. And it was awesome, and it's an awesome hunt, and I totally understand why you shot that deer with all the aspects, right? Like, man, sometimes the moment is worth a lot, right? And that was just a moment, dude. The footage is sick for a self-filming thing, and it's just cool, man. So, congrats, like 3 years later still on that buck,
man.
Yeah, so, but the point of that whole thing was to say, like, do not despair because you think the rut is over, right? Like, you need to adjust things a little bit. If you do experience some type of lockdown activity, you know, maybe it's not pinch point time. Maybe it's time for, you know, bedding areas or thickets that are adjacent to ag fields or whatever, you know, just kind of change what you're doing a little bit. But it's going to be still a really, really great time to be in the woods, especially since we had that warmer weather earlier. I think we're going to see, and the guys that we interview today are going to talk a lot about how things are starting to really turn on, even though it's a little bit late in the year. So who are we talking to today, Tyler?
Well, we have a special guest today.
Do we?
Very special guest who used to, Spest, which actually works on a lot of levels here.
Yeah.
Spencer Newharth.
Is it Newhart or Newharth? Have you ever figured that out?
I don't know.
I think it depends on who's pronouncing it.
I think it's,
I'll ask him today for sure what it is. Yeah.
So anyway, Spencer will be on, like, this is his debut since his retirement. It's crazy. He's a lot like Brett Favre in many ways. So he'll be on here. He's from South Dakota, but he's
Wyoming is where he's
doing some Wyoming. Yeah. Talk. And then we've got a good friend, Dan Beeler, who has been in Kansas. He'll have a report for you guys from Kansas. He shot a buck recently. Another good friend, Anthony Warren, who has been hunting Illinois on some public land. I think it's kind of been up and down for him, but he'll give us a good report from Illinois. And then a state that we didn't know if we would ever get somebody from this year, but Rhode Island with Kyle Murray. So we're excited to hear from these guys and to get the report from around the country for the first week and a half, 2 weeks of November, and then going forward, what they think things are going to look like. So
I am excited, dude. We got some more hunting coming up. I'm ready to get the good report for these from these guys and then get our own hype going. Sound good?
Me too.
On the phone right now, I got my buddy Anthony Warren. He's been hunting in Illinois. Anthony, what's happening, dude?
Hey, what's going on, KC?
I just looking at this cold front, man, and thinking about how cool it is to be out hunting deer. I know you've been out there quite a bit. How is the hunting there in Illinois right now?
Yeah, it's, man, it's cold this morning. I think we got a couple inches of snow that came in real early this morning, and so I kind of got covered in that. But, you know, it's been hit and miss. You know, I think I got up here on Tuesday, or actually Monday evening, hunted Tuesday, had a really good day Tuesday, bunch of chase, and saw a bunch of bucks and a couple good deer. It got kind of hot following that, I think, Wednesday and Thursday. So the deer movement kind of slowed down. We stopped kind of seeing a lot of deer in the afternoon, saw a lot of movement in the mornings, which is kind of to be expected whenever the temps are up in the high 70s, low 80s. And now that we've got some cold weather that blew in yesterday, we're starting to see some more deer move.
Yeah, man, I would imagine. How does that snow affect what you do? Do you start like looking at tracks more, or are you just kind of hindered by it, or how's that treat you?
Yeah, I mean, my overall tactic right now has really been to find doe bedding. Mm-hmm. I hunted an area this morning that was close to some food. What I happened to notice, I saw a bunch of does kind of moving in and out of bedding, and they were going to that food kind of late morning after the snow kind of eased up. So I just think when it starts getting drastically colder, the deer are going to want to find food, especially the does. The bucks still have, you know, the rut on their mind, but the does really still control everything. So if you're kind of where the does want to be, and if that's near food, you stand a good chance of finding the bucks.
Yeah, cool. So does lockdown come into play very much for you when you think about this time of year? Are you still just hunting normal rut patterns?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. I think we're kind of in that lockdown period right now. A good thing about lockdown, though, is that if you're willing to stick it out and sit in a tree for a lot of hours, you're gonna find bucks that are either still searching for does, or they just got off of a doe and they're trying to find their next doe. So really, for the next 2 to 3 weeks, even in early December, I'm seeing a lot of bucks that they're still constantly running through this cycle of finding the hottest doe, and then, you know, breaking off of that one and then getting to the next hot doe. So, you know, if you're going to put your time in, they're still moving, it's still the rut, and there's still does to be bred. So, I think even during lockdown, you can find deer.
Yeah, man, absolutely. If you, were going to do all day type sits, would you spend time in the same tree, or would you, kind of make and reposition midday?
Yeah, if I felt confident about the tree that I was in, I'd probably sit there all day. If I started seeing a pattern of movement where maybe the deer were 30, 40 yards off or outside my range, you know, I might make a move at that point. But really, if I'm confident and I've kind of, you know, sat the area before, I'll probably sit there all day. Mm-hmm. and feel pretty fine about it.
Cool, man. So looking forward, as we roll into kind of this third week of November, how do you feel the buck movement's going to be in the state of Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, the forecast shows a lot of really great weather. So, you know, I think first and foremost, the weather is the most important factor outside of the rut to get deer on their feet and moving. So with seeing the really good weather ahead, I think that, you know, again, as these bucks start getting off some does, they'll be searching again. I would say kind of, another strategy of mine is I'm really looking at some overlooked corridors, and especially trying to be downwind of doe bedding. I had a lot of success with that, you know, earlier in the week, you know, on a real wonky wind. It was an east southeast wind, but it made sense for where I was hunting. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can just be downwind of the doe bedding, and maybe find like a pinch or some kind of funnel or something that's going to restrict the movement, I think you can have a pretty good sit, especially even getting into you know, Thanksgiving weekend and on. Like I said, there's still going to be does that will need to be bred. And mm-hmm. I think that those bucks will search that out for sure.
Awesome, man. Okay, so put a number between 1 and 10 on what you think buck movement's going to be in the next week.
Yeah, I'll probably be a little bit more conservative than a lot of people would you know, probably be. But I think 6 to 7. You may not see the numbers of mature bucks, but they'll be out there moving somewhere. Mm.
Those are good numbers, man. I think, you know, conservative is a good move, especially whenever you're hunting some big deer. So, Anthony, I really appreciate the time today, and I hope you kill a big buck soon, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Here on the phone, I have got a good friend of mine named Dan Beeler. He has been hunting up in Kansas. Dan, what's happening, dude?
Oh, not much. Just trying to stay warm now.
Trying to stay warm and not have any bullet holes in you, right?
That's right, yeah.
Man, have you been seeing some pressure up there in Kansas?
Yeah, there is a lot. Well, you know, I should say a lot of pressure. It's just that the amount of land that you can hunt that's available for just public hunting is f- few and far between. So it doesn't take many hunters to create a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. I've been up there and experienced a little bit of that myself. So you've been hunting up there the last week or so. Just in general, how has it been? Do you feel like it's been a good year?
You know, yes and no. On the land that I have access to, I would say no, but that's not necessarily indicative of the deer movement.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of bucks moving on private land, a lot of nice bucks, but just nothing, you know, nothing on any of the public land that I'm hunting.
Mm-hmm.
How is big bucks anyway?
You know, Kansas is kind of the epicenter of the extreme drought, all that Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota through there. How has that affected your strategy this year?
You know, I had planned on hunting water at least part of the time that I was going to be here. There was some rain that came through the night before I got here, but it's still dry. It's still really dry. But
mm-hmm.
but to be honest, it hasn't really factored into anything I've done. I've seen a lot of deer in places that there's no water around that I can find anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know where or when they're getting water, but these deer up here, they travel so far that I think it's pretty tough to catch them when they're actually on water.
Yeah, I got you. So what was the thing you were trying to catch deer on?
Well, really, just traveling back to and from bed. And again, since they travel so far, you know, there's a lot of times they're getting back to their bed late in the mornings, especially now that we're in the middle of November. You know, they're out chasing does and stuff and looking for does. The full moon doesn't necessarily help, but I don't think it hurts either.
Mm-hmm.
As far as movement in the mornings. And that seems to be when I've been seeing the most deer movement is in the mornings.
Do you think that has to do with the just warmer temps that we were experiencing?
Yeah, I think so. And I think also the fact that the winds this past week, there was one day the winds were gusting over 50. And they didn't lay down until, you know, well after dark. And so I think it really had the deer bedded down most of the day. And so I think they were taking advantage of that time in the morning before the winds were kicking up.
Yeah, I can kind of see that too. You know, those deer up there in the Plain States get used to the wind, but 50 miles an hour is still a lot no matter where you're at, you know. So
that's right.
It'll suppress them some, but I think sometimes you know, those deer function in 20 to 25 pretty often. So I think it's something to not worry too much about unless it's like you're saying, those 50-mile-an-hour gusts. Then you don't want to be in a tree anyways.
That's right. I almost fell out.
Wear your harness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you actually found some success while you were up there, even though you were met with some harsh conditions, right?
I did, yeah. So I hunted pretty hard for the first 5 days that I was here, and after day two, I did not have a buck in range and didn't see a shooter buck at all for 3 days. Again, saw several of them on private, but nothing where I was hunting, and no shooters for 3 days. And then went back to a piece that I was pretty familiar with. I actually shot a deer there last year out of the same tree. And so I'm two for two sitting in that tree on killing bucks. So I may have to try it again sometime if I could manage to draw another tag. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, and not a huge buck by any means, but I was able to call him in, and he was pretty fired up. So I was plenty happy with him.
That's cool. What calling method did you use?
I grunted and snort wheezed.
Mm. And
he rubbed a tree and then came right in after
put
that.
Put the show on for you, huh?
He did.
That's fun, dude. That is awesome. Well, congrats on the buck, dude. So big changes happened across the central part of the U.S. this week. And, you know, as we look at the third week of November, we're looking at, like, legit good deer hunting temps, you know, across the country, really. So how do you feel that things are going to go over the next week? Do you think that it's going to be a major lockdown, kind of like some people are worried about, or do you think there's still going to be some pretty good rut action?
You know, I think it's going to be pretty good. The first day I was here, which was November the 5th, I saw the biggest buck of the trip that was bedded with a doe. And then I've seen, you know, I've seen everything in between. He was locked down on her and wouldn't move. But I, this morning, which is the 12th, I believe, I saw a buck chasing a doe as hard as I've ever seen. And saw more bucks today in this cold weather than what I've seen. I was just driving around. I've got a buddy who's still hunting. And so just driving around, I saw a lot of activity again on private land. But it seems like the bigger bucks are really starting to move around and push the younger bucks off of the does.
Yeah, man. I love having the opportunity to drive around at good deer hours and learn things. I think it's
absolutely
super underrated.
I agree. Yeah.
So if you had to look at the next week, third week in November, and rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 for buck movement, what do you think it's going to be there in the state of Kansas?
And as far as movement goes, especially with the weather, I mean, they're calling for, I think some parts of the state are going to get snow Monday, and it's going to be plenty cold. As far as movement goes, I mean, it's got to be a 9 or 10.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, we've had some high numbers this week, man, and I think that it's warranted. Honestly, the first part of November probably is just a touch overhyped, and I think people really miss out on how good this week can be. So I'm right there with you, dude. I'm excited about it, and I'm glad you got you a nice buck. Hope you get home in Texas and find another one, dude.
Yeah, I'll try. We'll see.
Cool. Thanks for the report, Dan.
All right, thanks.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. Pay attention here because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meateater, but you got to use the promo code meateater. That's promo code meateater, okay, at twc.health/meateater. Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. Now, this is a good innovation here, and it solves a real problem, okay? So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools, like a griddle on your grill. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. There's no use of coatings, okay? You can use metal tools to flip, press, and scrape without worry. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. Now, the problem with griddles, everything rusts. No one talks about how bad everything rusts. The reason they don't, because they couldn't fix it until now. Well, Weber's new rust-resistant technology, your Weber grill will last for years. When used, the carbon steel griddle hardens and bonds the surface, reducing the ability for moisture to collect and rust to form. With the new Weber Works Prep Cook and Store system, you can keep cooking and cleaning supplies handy, carry food and condiments from the kitchen to the griddle, and even convert the side table into a prep station. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle.
All right, I'm on the phone with Kyle Murray. He is a hunter in Rhode Island, not a quarterback in Arizona, however, right? Man, how are you doing today?
No, good. How are you, KZ?
I'm doing well, enjoying the cold front that we've been blessed with here. Have you been out in the woods in Rhode Island here lately?
The past week I've hit the woods a couple times when the weather has been ideal. We're 76 degrees right now here in Rhode Island, so
man,
it's not too ideal to get out.
Yeah, I bet you on the East Coast there, the weather patterns are just different than what most of the country is used to, right?
I mean, by this time of year, usually we're in the 30s to 40s. This is kind of unheard of for, 76 degree weather.
Yeah.
It's been a little difficult, but the rut's definitely starting and happening, but it's been a slower start than usual.
What do you do tactic-wise to kind of combat that slow start?
Tactic-wise, I guess try to find where the does are, and where the does are is where you want to be hunting, of course, and get on fresh shine. So you can start to see where the scrapes and the rubs, where the bucks are starting to make those. That's where it's been the best.
Mm-hmm. So are you spending some time doing some midday in-season scouting, trying to find that stuff?
I've got a couple cell cams out, so I've been using that and just knowledge from the previous years of, where some pre-rut activity. The scrapes and the rubs haven't really, they just started to show up.
Mm-hmm.
usually like the last week of October, mid-October, the woods will start loading up with scrapes and rubs, and it hadn't really happened until like last weekend, November 5th, which was our muzzle loader opener.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So when is usually kind of like the best day in November for you there in Rhode Island?
The best day, usually this, let me look at the calendar here. The third week of November, probably from, right now until November 22nd or so, that's probably where I've put the most bucks on the ground.
Ooh, that's exciting, man, because that's what we still have coming up. A lot of the country is kind of having the woes because, the first 2 weeks of November coming up, but really, there's a decent section of the country, you included, that, some of the best days are still to come. So that's exciting. What are you going to be doing to kind of capitalize on that best week? How are you going to be hunting?
We got some cold weather coming up this week. It's going to dip down into the 30s pretty consistently, 30s to 40s, for highs and lows, which we haven't seen yet this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to hold my best spots until those really cold, that first cold day, and try to get in there and see what happens. And I guess take it from there and just hunt where the sign is and try to get on some rut funnels and, just be open minded about different, places I can hunt, not focus in on one particular spot.
Sure, yeah. Being conservative and playing the patient game can definitely pay off. Is there a particular food source this time of year that you really like to key on?
Oh, I usually like to hunt the acorns, but we didn't seem to have much of an acorn crop this year, and it seems like they've been hitting grass, some the alfalfa fields or hay fields. You can get on those. That's where the does have been feeding. The last doe I shot, she was full of, green, no acorns or nothing. So that's probably a food source that I'd key in on. If I'm seeing them
consistently hitting the fields, I would definitely, you know, keep that in mind and try to work that into my tactics.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. So you've kind of already told us that your best week's coming up, so I bet you're excited. I know that you're amped for, you know, some of that colder weather and stuff. If you had to rate what you expect buck movement to be for that third week of November on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you put that at?
It's going to be pretty up there. I would say it's going to be the best week of the season. We haven't seen this weather yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're coming off of a 76-degree weather. And on Monday, it's going to be 33 degrees. So
oh, what a drop. Big,
temperature drop. And, you know, it's going to be consistent throughout that week. I mean, I would say a lot of deer are going to get killed that week here in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe an 8, you know, if you put your scouting in and you get out there.
Yeah, dude, that sounds awesome. I love the optimism, man. I'm excited for you. I know it's going to be a good week. Really appreciate the time, dude. And I hope you kill a big giant buck this week.
All right, appreciate it.
Now, joining us on the phone is the smooth molasses cookie with a side of mocha voice that you guys know, Spencer Newharth, a regular on the show for many years, is going to join us this week and talk about some of his hunting experiences that he's had recently in Wyoming. Spencer, how are you doing, man?
What's up, Casey? I'm doing good.
Good.
Doing good. Staying warm today.
Yeah, it's an important day to do that. I've been seeing across Instagram and other places just snow kind of starting to hit, especially some of that western stuff. And you've been hunting whitetails out there in the west. How has the hunting been in Wyoming?
So the hunting is good, and it's your traditional rut action this mm-hmm. time of year where you see bucks on their feet during daylight. But you're also dealing with this extreme weather that we just had. And over the last about a week or so, most of the West on my side of the Missouri River has had some of the lowest temperatures of the fall so far. I think where I'm sitting right now in Montana, it's 0 degrees. A lot of parts of Wyoming are 10 degrees. And then a lot of the West also has a lot of snow on the ground as well. So you're getting something that I always embrace when this happens prior to like late November in the West. You have this traditional rut movement with these whitetail bucks, but then you also get this extreme weather that patterns or really makes the deer flock to very obvious places. And it makes for a really fun hunt because you're seeing good numbers and you're seeing rutty activity.
Yeah, that's cool. And I would imagine that cold weather would mean that food is going to probably be part of the, at least the things you're factoring in. And with the drought conditions in the West, at least in my experience, food was kind of weird this year when you're looking at agriculture. Did you find the same out there?
Yeah, the thing that I'm always most concerned about, I think of all the factors that people care about when it comes to the rut with temperatures and moon phases and barometric pressure and precipitation and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think the number one factor of the places that I've always hunted in the West is the food availability.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There was a significant drought this year that impacted how guys were planting and harvesting. But most importantly is that most of harvest is wrapped up by now. In fact, most of harvest was wrapped up early this year in the West, which meant that prior to November 1st, a lot of the combines were out of the field. And I think that makes for a stronger rut hunt for guys who were hunting around agriculture. So the drought had combines getting out of the field early this year. And I think that, you know, makes for an improved movement with whitetails.
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of the thought on the rut kind of radiates out of the Midwest. And in the Midwest, I understand that there's some really specific rut days. But in my experience, once you kind of get out of that, the whole month of November can be really good. So in your opinion, do you like these colder weather days that we have coming up more, or do you still think that first and second week of November is the time to be in the woods?
I love whenever we have, like I said earlier, this extreme weather. And mm-hmm. so like we have right now, this is really going to make the does congregate on the most obvious food sources. And in the West, that can be a clear cut, that can be a cornfield, that can be a cattle pasture, whatever that is. It's going to make it really obvious where these deer are hanging out. And then I think it also creates these strange places for deer to get locked down at. And I see this all the time where right around this time for this next week or so, you're going to be seeing a lot of bucks that get locked down with the doe in a place where you're traditionally not seeing deer, like these overgrown fence rows and old shelter belts and abandoned farmyards and small sloughs. So it makes the deer really visible, and they can also like give you a chance to seek out some permissions where people aren't normally asking to deer hunt because there's just not normally deer there. Mm-hmm. And I've had that happen before as well this time of year, where deer end up in some strange spot because they got locked down there, because there's a hot food source there. And I'm able to get a permission on a place that I otherwise didn't have hunting access to. And that's something you can really embrace over these next few weeks and find some whitetail bucks that way.
Yeah, man, that's exciting. I love getting out there and being able to glass those things up and just make observations and make moves on them. So as we look forward to the next week here, we're going to have the good cold temperatures that you say that you like, but it's kind of going to be on the back shoulder of this front. We're going to fall into just some really solid, consistent weather patterns. How do you feel buck activity is going to be within the next week here in November?
I think it's going to be really good. But I think a big consideration right now too is that almost all the gun seasons on this side of the Missouri River have opened by now. Mm-hmm. Nebraska has opened this weekend. Half of South Dakota opened this weekend. Montana has been open for about 3 weeks now. Wyoming has been open for a couple weeks in most of the states. So knowing those things as well is, you're not going to be finding deer within a quarter mile of some hiking trail on public lands. That's probably not going to be the case. You're probably also not going to find them in some of the most obvious sign making spots. If you're going through the woods on a trail and you find some rubs and scrapes, that's great. But all these gun hunters in the woods are going to find those as well. And so I think the deer movement's going to be really strong. There's going to be a lot of visible deer on obvious food sources. But you're probably going to have to earn a lot of these bucks over this next week.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Makes sense for sure. It's an exciting time of the year. Okay. Let's do your thing. Let's rate Wyoming for the third week of November on a scale of 1 to 10 for buck movement, man.
1 to 10, it's going to be a 9 or a 10.
Woo, man, that's optimistic. I like it.
this is a dang good time to be in the woods. Like I said, besides the gun pressure, you have everything else working for you right now. The crops are gone. The weather is going to inspire a lot of movement. So I think it's going to be strong.
That's awesome, dude. Spencer, really appreciate the report, man. Congrats on a great season so far. And I hope you stay warm, dry, and maybe get a few more hunts in.
Thanks, Casey. Have a good one.
All right, you too, dude. Thanks. Another wild week in November has come and gone. That's your Rut Fresh report for this week. Guys, I'm going to give you some encouragement. This second half of the month is gold. It's good stuff, so get out there and hunt. Be sure you haven't used all your vacation time up. Squeak a little bit in there. Hey, do a family project if you need to just to gain some brownie points so you can get one more sit in that stand because it just might pay off. Check the show notes if you haven't, because there's some really cool articles and podcasts and videos down there that might help you or give you some inspiration as this month pushes on. This has been Rut Fresh. Keep it fresh.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. You simply pour a can into your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. So pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.